Hello, and welcome to show number 2513 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
Well, we're standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. We're such a fine sight to see.
That was obviously Nancy and me, and you can probably guess where we were. And we'll hear about the rest of our vacation in this episode.
Experience the vivid landscapes of Arizona as enhanced by detailed descriptions by artificial intelligence. We used various AI services like PickyBot and Be My Eyes to describe our adventures in the Sonoran Desert, the Phoenix Botanical Garden, Sedona's Trails, Winslow, Arizona, and more. Explore how technology can enhance the visually impaired's experience of nature. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is be adventurous, but it's okay to repeat something you enjoyed previously. This was not our first trip to Arizona, but we did do some things that we had never done before.
So come along with us and enjoy our vacation.
See if you have as much fun as we did.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
the Blind Institute of Technology, a global nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing accessibility and inclusion. BIT offers training programs and connects skilled professionals with disabilities to career opportunities. More information is at blindit.org.
And by
Biped AI, the Swiss startup behind Noa, an all-in-one mobility tool worn on the shoulders. Noa provides audio GPS instructions, detects obstacles, and describes surroundings in real time using its live AI feature. More information is available at biped.ai.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
In the bulk of this show, we'll be talking about our particular vacation through Arizona, but we'd like to start by introducing the state. And of course, we didn't see all of it on this trip. I don't think anybody could. But Arizona is famous for containing a good chunk of the Sonoran Desert. There are several deserts in the southwestern United States, including the Great Basin Desert, which is mostly in Nevada, the Mojave Desert, which is mostly in southeastern California, the Chihuahuan Desert, which is mostly in Mexico, Texas, and New Mexico. But the Sonoran Desert is the one with all of those huge saguaro cacti and a whole bunch of other distinctive cacti that you see. The people who live in Arizona think it's very lush, and relative to some of these other deserts, it is.
And as you might imagine, it's often warm there, it's often very sunny, and we used to often go there on vacation in the wintertime when we lived in Rochester, where it was kind of bleak, snowy, and cold in the wintertime. So we're pretty familiar with Arizona. We've been there a number of times, and we wanted to make one more trip.
And we thought we'd bring you along for the ride. Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is our experiences traveling through Arizona, accompanied by PickyBot and Be My Eyes. Well, we flew into Phoenix in the afternoon one day and decided to spend that night in a hotel before getting up and heading off to Sedona. But then when we got up in the morning, we decided we wanted to take a walk before getting in the car for the drive. And we found the Desert Vista Trailhead of the Sonoran Preserve, which, as you may guess, is part of the Sonoran Desert. Google Maps describes the Sonoran Preserve as an open desert park with miles of hiking and biking trails through lush green plains of cactus.
And being close to Phoenix, which is relatively densely populated, there are lots of people on the trails because it was close to the city. And it was kind of fun to see all these people hiking up and down with their water bottles. Of course, that's very important. There are signs about remembering to take water and turn around when your water's halfway empty. One can get dehydrated pretty easily in the desert.
Here's a description from PickyBot of what the Sonoran Preserve looks like.
We're looking up at a brilliant blue sky where the sun is shining brightly on the left side of the frame. A stark, dry desert landscape stretches across the middle and right side of the frame, with a variety of cacti and desert plants dotting the rugged terrain. There's the sound of someone's voice and breathing, suggesting we're experiencing this hike with them. As we continue, we see the camera move further upwards towards branches that form a sort of canopy in front of us. And then the video ends.
You can hear a little bit of voiceover in the background. As many of you know, PickyBot is an iOS app that allows you to take video with your camera and describe that video. And although Nancy does a great job describing what's around me on these hikes, so I can visualize it pretty well, it's also interesting to see how well some of these AI tools do. So that is one sample, and we'll be hearing some more from PickyBot and also the Be My Eyes app later on.
In fact, here's another example of PickyBot. We saw these really bizarre looking trees that have green bark and no leaves. And we said, geez, what's that? Well, we asked PickyBot. Here's what they were.
The tree in front of you is a Palo Verde, which is common in desert environments like the one shown in the image. Palo Verde trees are unique because their bark is green, allowing them to perform photosynthesis even when they shed their leaves. During the hotter, drier months, these trees often drop their small leaves to conserve water. However, they do grow leaves during cooler, wetter times of the year, primarily in spring and occasionally after summer rains. The leaves are tiny and delicate, adapting the tree well to the arid climate by reducing water loss. This adaptation helps the Palo Verde survive in harsh desert conditions.
So you can see how detailed the descriptions are from some of these AI tools. And what is kind of unique about it, and a little bit more extensive than Nancy's visual descriptions, is not only do you get a visual description, but it also gives you a more detailed description of the plant and how it works and the name of the plant and a little bit more detail about it that you wouldn't have otherwise have gotten from a verbal description of someone like Nancy giving me the description.
I am not, after all, a botanist, but I do my best. So we had a great hike, and then we decided, well, it was time to head off to Sedona. And Sedona is a really special place. And with apologies for all of the road noise in this next clip, this is me describing what it looks like to Pete as we pulled into town.
So we just pulled into the official city limits of Sedona. And off in the distance are all of these humongous mesas where the bottom strata is this deep, deep reddish brown like a flower pot. And above that is a layer that's very pale, kind of grayish. And there's almost nothing growing on any of the vertical sides. And then at the top, there's dark green where there's stuff growing. It is really beautiful.
Turn left, then your destination will be on the left.
And I assume the sky is a cloudless, deep blue.
Nope! There are actually clouds.
Your destination is on the left.
Not too many, but there are clouds. It was a deep blue without any clouds earlier today.
And that was the drive up to Sedona, which is at a much higher elevation than Phoenix, and a little bit cooler. So it's a great place to be in the summertime when it's over 100 degrees in Phoenix, and it can be more like 70 up in Sedona.
Well, but we were there in January when it was in the 70s in Phoenix, and in the 50s in Sedona, but with the usually cloudless sky and not so much air above us, the sun kept us plenty warm, and it was perfect weather for hiking and just enjoying ourselves. The next morning, we decided to head out to Jerome, which is a nearby historic mining village perched on the side of a mountain. Well, the first thing we did was we went out to the car. We opened the trunk to put our stuff for the day in the trunk of the car, and we found Pete's all-terrain cane in the trunk, but missing its tip. And that's what precipitated our visit to Sedona Dave, who makes the all-terrain canes. And if you want to hear about that, we spent show 2509 talking about that experience. And Dave was terrific, very helpful. And among other things, he gave us some advice about what to do when we got to Jerome.
You must visit. In Jerome, there's a store called Nellie Bly's, America's largest kaleidoscope store.
Oh, how cool.
And I brought a group of 12 blind people there one day. We were shooting a documentary. Tears to everybody's eyes. People were like, oh my God, I could see the colors.
Oh, really?
It's off the rails. Huh. The blind people in Nellie Bly's is off the rails.
So, of course, we had to go to the kaleidoscope store, and we are very glad he recommended it.
If you've never seen a kaleidoscope, what it is it's generally a tube that's filled with a bunch of mirrors and some colored glass. And so it makes very geometrical patterns as you turn the end of the kaleidoscope around to shake up these little colored pieces of glass. And it can make very pretty images that are very geometrical. But this store had very unusual ones, from kind of low-end things that I saw when I was a kid to kaleidoscopes that were real works of art, several thousands of dollars. And of course, they let me feel many of them, so that was fun.
And Jerome really is a very cute village. As we mentioned, it's perched on the side of a mountain. Well, initially, apparently, it wasn't perched very well on the side of the mountain, and it attempted to slide down said mountain, but the government showed up and put in some retaining walls and other supports, and now Jerome is fairly stable on the side of the mountain. But boy, it's steep getting up and down into Jerome, and once you're in town, it's still steep. The drive coming out of Jerome down the hill was almost as interesting as the town itself. Pete thought it would be fun to let Pickybot narrate the trip.
All right, so we are in the driver's seat of a car, and we are looking at a narrow road ahead with a bright blue sky above. There's a clear view down the road, lined with various buildings on either side, including some older ones with a bit of a rustic charm. The road has yellow lines down the middle, and the sides of the road seem to slope away steeply, especially on the left. Now the view shifts to the side window, where we see a stone barrier lining the road, with a small, barren landscape beyond it. The road slopes downward, and we are moving into an area with fewer buildings. As we continue forward, the view switches briefly to a sign that says Speed 20. We're now moving along, and we can see the landscape change, but still with the bright blue sky above us. We can see the mountains out in the distance. The car makes a tight turn as it moves further down the hill. The view from the side mirror now shows a clear shot of the mesas in the distance as we move down this curvy mountain road. We are still going down the mountain, and we get glimpses of the scenery in the distance.
So we spent the next few days hiking in Sedona, which has so many wonderful trails and gorgeous scenery. So we went to the Mescal Trail, got out of the car, strapped on our boots, and headed out for what turned into a wonderful hike.
We met some locals at the trailhead, and they sent us over here to the Mescal Trail, which is a blind man's idea of heaven, especially with his companion who can see. The trail is wide and flat and mostly smooth, and in front of us are some of those mesas that I described earlier
that are deep red at the bottom, nearly white most of the way up, greenery on top, occasional greenery growing wherever there's a crevasse. The sky is blue, 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 not a cloud to be seen. And this is just going to be a great hike.
Now, of course, that description about the trail being smooth and wide and flat, that turned out only to be true at the beginning. So we had a little more adventure than we expected.
It got to be, as most trails do, when you're headed up a mountain, a little bit more rugged and actually started getting kind of steep. But it was a fun hike. We ran into an occasional person coming either up the trail passing us or down the trail passing us the other way. And it was just a gorgeous day. Sedona, although it's not a large town, claims to have 250 miles of trails. So there's plenty of variation and plenty of fun to be had there.
So after a few days of having a great time in Sedona, we headed northeast through the twisty, windy roads of Oak Creek Canyon, which made the road going to Jerome look like child's play. But we didn't fall down the canyon, so we're good. And we wound up going to Winslow, Arizona, which was made famous by the song Take It Easy, the Eagles' debut single, which was released 50 years ago. In 1999, this little town of Winslow, Arizona, opened the Standing on the Corner Park in honor of the song, because that's what makes Winslow famous, and that's pretty much the only reason anybody goes there anymore. So they've got this park with myriads of gift shops and other topical businesses. Needless to say, we stood on the corner and sang our hearts out.
Well, we're standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. We're such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. And take it easy.
I think the Eagles did a considerably better job of that than we did. It probably wouldn't have been quite as famous of a song if they sang it like that. Plus, they even knew the words.
That was one benefit.
And we weren't the only ones out there standing on the corner taking pictures. A lot of tourists stop by there, and there's always a crowd of people around doing similar things.
About a half an hour east of Winslow is the Painted Desert and Petrified Forest, which the National Park Service describes as a landscape of badlands extending some 150 miles from the eastern end of the Grand Canyon into the Petrified Forest. The mesas in the area climb up in stratified layers pigmented by pink, orange, and purple mineral deposits. Much of this colorful destination lies in remote areas of the Navajo Nation. And so we peered over all sorts of lookouts at these really bizarre formations of sand in the Painted Desert. And at the south end of the national park is where the Petrified Forest is, which is, according to the National Park Service, known for its Triassic fossils. It's like having two parks in one, an ecosystem over 200 million years old, with plants and animals now represented in the surreal landscape of the Painted Desert.
And as Nancy mentioned, they call it the Painted Desert, and the reason is that some of those rocks are very colorful. I remember you describing them as big giant candy corns, some that were blue, some that were yellow, some were gray, very colorful.
And in the Petrified Forest, they've got, not surprisingly, petrified trees. These are old, 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 enormous trees which fell down, and in the petrification process, the wood was replaced by rock. And now you've got these trees that are hundreds of millions of years old, all on their sides, some of them, you know, 100 or more feet long, 3 to 5 feet in diameter, and you can walk around them and feel them, and it's really cool.
And it was fun for me. It was a very tactile experience to walk through what seemed like a whole forest that fell down with these giant trees. And when you feel the trees that were felled, they're just solid rock. And it's very unusual. I've felt little pieces of petrified wood before. They feel like little stones, but to see a whole tree like that was something. In fact, some of the Native Americans over 1,000 years ago built a house that was standing there, a log cabin made of petrified wood. And that was something to see.
So that was really cool. But then it was time to go back to Phoenix. And the drive back to Phoenix from the Petrified Forest passes through the Tonto National Forest, which has a maximum elevation of nearly 8,000 feet. And even though we knew that, we were pretty surprised to see dense pine forests in the middle of Arizona and snow on the ground. But we got back to Phoenix that afternoon, and of course it was too early to check into our hotel, so we took a walk in a park, and being in Phoenix, which is under 2,000 feet, it was a whole lot warmer, and there were all sorts of palm trees and people out playing in the park and having a grand time. While we were in Phoenix, we went to the Desert Botanical Garden, which they describe as being a desert garden with 50,000 plants spread over 140 acres, also offering dining, a gift shop, and a library. I think we saw the whole thing. Even the food was surprisingly good. And here is a description from Be My Eyes of one of the areas at the Botanical Garden.
The scene is set in a desert environment under a clear blue sky, indicating a sunny day. In the foreground, there is a dense cluster of cacti, primarily consisting of chola cacti, which have segmented, spiny branches that appear tangled and intricate. These cacti are covered with spines that catch the sunlight, giving them a slightly shimmering appearance. To the left, there is a tall saguaro cactus, characterized by its columnar shape and ribbed surface. It stands prominently against the sky. Nearby, there are agave plants with thick, pointed leaves that grow in a rosette pattern. The leaves are bluish-green and have sharp tips. In the background, there are more desert plants, including Palo Verde trees, which have thin, greenish branches and sparse foliage. These trees are adapted to the desert climate and provide a contrast to the cacti with their more delicate appearance. The ground is sandy and dry, typical of the desert landscape, with scattered rocks and sparse vegetation. The overall scene captures the rugged beauty and diversity of desert flora.
And again, you see the very detailed visual description, and you learn more about the scene, i.e. the name of these plants and how they grow, and a little bit more about them in general.
So we did some more hiking in the Phoenix area. We went to the McDowell Sonoran Preserve on the opposite end of town from the previous Sonoran Preserve. And one really special thing we did was we visited the Musical Instrument Museum, which again is a blind person's idea of heaven. It had to be the most accessible museum we've ever been to. They hand everybody a pair of headphones on the way in. And as you walk past each display where they've got musical instruments from roughly 200 countries and many centuries, they give you an audio description.
This is by far the best musical museum we've ever seen, and if you're ever in the area, you should certainly not pass it up.
They even have some instruments that you can play in one of the special rooms. There's a Steinway grand piano in the foyer that guests were playing quite well. We had a great time. And if you go to their website, they have examples of descriptions of some of these instruments, including some music that you can hear. Here's an example of one of the recordings on their website where they're playing some traditional instruments and music from the Andes in South America.
So this is kind of actually an important ritual dance.
another example where they have traditional zither music.
They kind of have a lever that you'd press like a key, and that gets the string vibrating.
And that was just some of what we saw on our trip and how we use some of the AI tools to make it even more fun.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item. Back in the day, Pete used to let me do most of the planning for our trips because it was easier for me to find the information. But these days, he's invoked various artificial intelligence tools, and he's been participating in doing the planning phases, which is a lot more fun because then we get to focus on things that we're both finding and that we're both interested in.
And these AI tools are getting better and better at doing things like that. And you can use a variety of them that are very accessible, like Gemini, ChatGPT. Perplexity is one of my favorite because it gives you very detailed answers with citations. But I would generally ask the AI something like, we're going to Sedona. We are interested in science, history, music. We like to hike. Please suggest some things that we can do in Sedona. And the more specific you make your prompt about what your interests are, what you're looking for, what kind of distances that you're willing to travel, then the better the response can be. And then once you get a response, you can ask some follow-up questions. Say, tell me more about that science museum or the musical instruments museum that you found. So use it iteratively and don't be afraid to ask questions of the AI.
And don't take everything they say too literally because, for example, Pete said, what is there near Sedona that we might want to do? And some of these things were a 3-hour drive away. So you still need to check, but it came up with a lot of great suggestions.
So in the show notes associated with this show, which is episode 2513, we'll have links to some of the places we saw, some of the AI tools we used, and how you can learn more about those, and maybe listen to some more music from the Musical Instrument Museum.
And also the official tourism site for the state of Arizona, which is visitarizona.com. Well, that's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about relearning life skills after vision loss. We'll talk with Eric Manser about his recent experiences with blindness training programs, transitioning from using magnification to screen readers, and finding value in using non-visual techniques. Eric's journey offers insights into overcoming challenges and learning new skills.
So thanks for joining us on our vacation this week, and we hope we'll catch you again next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.